Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Good Sunday to you. It's KJWEEI, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. Here with you till 9 on Sunday Skate and the Miracle Bruins on ice last night. But yeah, Joe Milton's gone, and some people from the outside would wonder, wow, why is the trading of the backup quarterback for a team that, look, shouldn't have won its last game? If it didn't, it would be the number one pick. Why would anybody care about this story? But there is something to care about. Now, first I will say, Joe Milton was not going to be the quarterback of the future of this team. Like I don't know where that narrative necessarily came from, but in an any given Sunday scenario in the movie, or watch this, the Mo Lewis hit can suddenly change your fortunes of a franchise. Maybe there was a couple of ounces of fear that there was a Mo Lewis hit around the corner, considering, I don't know, the current quarterback had a couple of concussions last year. So maybe there is a bit of a worry. I can't say that that's what it is, but I will say this. The compensation for Milton makes sense. It just doesn't make sense at this time. Like the Patriots, of course, reports have come out that Moore was offered. They didn't take it. And supposedly, you know, to kind of appease Milton, you know, go back home to Texas, you can be a Cowboy and everything. I'm like, wait a minute. When did this business start becoming so appealing? You know, we know you got a family and everything, so we'll move you to your high school. Like, no, business is business. Like, here's the put it in perspective. Like, the Josh Uche compensation won't come until next year. The Josh Uche compensation won't come until next year. So my question would be, why couldn't the Patriots wait a little longer, hold on to Joe Milton, and get better compensation for next year's draft? Like, at this point, what is a fifth rounder really going to offer to this team but more moral support? And if you let Joe Milton play a little bit during the preseason, and like, again, please don't look at your 401k, but kind of the way stocks work is you want to build up the value of it and then sell. What was the hanging on, or better yet, why let him go so fast before you could have gotten more out of letting him flash, unless you really are concerned somewhere about a conversation regarding Drake May versus Joe Milton? Now, again, let me state this clearly. Drake May is the quarterback. Again, even think about this. When Bledsoe was the quarterback of the Patriots and he got his $100 million deal, the thinking is you just paid the guy $100 million. Well, that thinking kind of still exists. If you draft a guy third, you don't say, hey, year two, we're going to go with the other guy, or year three, we're going to go with the other guy, especially if the guy did okay. My concern for Drake May is, A, the offensive line, and B, the history of concussions that exist already. And because the offensive line, watch this, still has not been addressed with established NFL players. That's the key. The draft is something different. I'll get into the draft a little bit. But key position on the field is offensive line. I look at the Larry Tunsil deal and just like, really? You didn't get on the phone with Caserio and those guys and be like, hey, we could really use an all-pro left tackle for the compensation that you got. You could have offered more. So, Zach, and thank you so much for being here today. Zach is my producer this morning. Early Sundays, huh?
Early Sundays.
Gotta love it. But hey, you know what? The show still must go on, even if it's an audience of four. So those who would not realize, because being on at 8 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday, you wouldn't think that this guy has this type of connections. I got a text from someone in the sports media in Dallas 2 days ago, Zach. Yeah, Friday afternoon. And the question he just straight up asked me was, what was the behind the scenes on Joe Milton? Was he a locker room issue? Okay, because that kind of had leaked out, right? Because again, he's now in Dallas, and the narrative is, hey, he has a better path to potentially becoming the Cowboys starter. I said, no, I think there was a concern that Milton would flash if there was a situation where May was out with a concussion. He had two last year and would affect May's confidence. Milton also would have alleviated some of the O-line problems with his mobility. The narrative that he was a greater path to start slash challenge Dak is false. I believe, and the media here in Boston, New England knows this, is that Milton was more likely to play due to May injury and poor offensive line play. About the locker room. I said Joe Milton was only in the locker room for the last game of the year. He was practice squad weeks 1 through 16. So this isn't a Joe Milton thing as much as it is a babysitting thing by management. Now, I can't just go willy-nilly to someone who's, they came to KJ for the information. I would venture to ask, like, did anybody else in the station get a text from Dallas Sports Media to find it? Because here's the thing. Are we babysitting now? Again, you don't think Joe Milton, okay, let's say Joe Milton does very well in the preseason. I can ignore all the hooing and hawing that Joe Milton should be the starter. This is the most overreactive fan base in America. I would have not bought it for a second. You know what I would have said? After every game, I would have been on the phone with every single GM. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? What's the price? What's the price? Boys, we talking about a fourth in next year's draft? Do I hear any thirds? Do I hear any thirds in next year in 2026 draft? Because you need fifth round compensation this year? Again, Josh Uche doesn't pay off the return if there was ever even a purchase. Doesn't come until next year. What was the hurry to get rid of Joe Milton? 617-779-7937. It's also the text line. Coming up, hope you're not holding a ticket saying Duke national champions in cash. But Joe Milton, like, look, if you know your offensive line is still going to be a problem, and let's just say you believe Will Campbell is the answer, you do know that Will Campbell will have to be that answer right away. And if he's not that answer right away, I'd really hate to tell you this, but kind of figuring it out on the job at left tackle can be a hazardous, it could be worse than what you saw last year. I think this is part of I just don't understand how you don't have some type of protection for Drake May at the second position, at the backup position. So the Patriots are just going to go to camp with Josh Dobbs and Drake May as the quarterback? Like, do we really know that Josh? Look, it's really great that Josh Dobbs has played in the NFL, but he's been in situations that are seemingly worse than what's here in New England. Like, if you told me a veteran backup that's established themselves in the league, fine. If you told me Joe Flacco was coming to be here to be the backup, I'd be like, excellent, great. But if you're telling me a guy who, he's run for his life more than run for first downs. No, no, no. Like, what's really up? So those who have heard, because you know, like, the way kind of media works now, it's all over. Like, you can literally do it from your bedroom. And if enough people click it, somebody believes it. Right? It's just, we're just in dangerous times right now. It's funny, Jacob. When I got into communications as my field, I got laughed at so much. Like, what can you do? And what can you do with that career? Like, communicate with, probably at best, you might be like 10 on 4, which would be $10 on pump 4. Like, same. You could probably, right. But now in this world we're in, most people don't know how to decipher bullish from field hockey. Like, they don't know. And so you've had these kind of crazy theories starting to float out there that I'm not going to necessarily touch because they might have been cooked up in the kitchen. But I do have to wonder out loud, did the Patriots like just hire a babysitter for Drake May? Like, is Josh Dobbs really just the babysitter? Like, were you really concerned that Joe Milton was going to flash? Because if that's the case, hell, let him flash in preseason. I'd sign up for 4 of those damn preseason games. Let him play the Hall of Fame game. Watch how all these other teams can't figure what's going on. Injuries happen. Cuts happen. Someone says, you know what? That's the offense we want to run. Joe Milton could be our guy and can immediately be our number 2 with the ascension to be the top, to be the quarterback. If you're going to tell me, say, hey, Joe Milton wanted a chance to really go and compete for the job, Dallas ain't it. If you want a point of reference, and I'll get into the Cleveland conversation, look at what Deshaun Watson is getting and not doing. He's still with Cleveland. Unless the Dallas Cowboys get an offer that says, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow could be available to us. Dak Prescott is not leaving the Cowboys. This league is very, very set on. Better the dance with the devil you know than the one you don't. So they're not going to just get rid of Dak Prescott and be like, Joe Milton's our guy. But if you were babysitting as you've been here back in New England, as it seems, maybe you were concerned at the deficiencies at left tackle, left side of the line. 2, Drake May had 2 concussions last year. 3, Joe Milton can run circles around everybody and throw the ball deep. I don't get into like, oh, his accuracy and everything. You know, when your offensive line is pretty much getting you killed, is it about staying alive or being accurate? Oh, Joe Milton played against third stringers last year. What, it wasn't an NFL game? I that's funny. Oh, he played against third stringers, but yet pissed enough that he won the game. And people are like, oh, you pissed away the first pick. Which one is it? The people on the field were horrible he was against, or he shouldn't have played so well that cost him the first. Like, you can't have it all. But the Patriots, if you told me, they say this even like with politics, right? And this is not a political statement, but they say, you know, the vice president is one heartbeat away from becoming the president. Josh Dobbs is one snap away from being the quarterback for the duration of a season because the offensive line is so bad. Now, I would ask you this. Would you sleep better at night if Josh Dobbs or Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback for lion's shares of the games next year? You'd be like, neither. What if I said, what if Joe Milton got to be the quarterback for the lion's share of next year's game because Drake May just couldn't get away from everybody coming off of that left side? You're like, okay, well, you know, lay on the running game. You would start to go through processes in your head. Maybe there's going to be some design plays in there where he can run, throw people off. You're going to have to commit another guy that's probably going to have to be a shadow. You won't be able to just rush the quarterback because as soon as you take off, he's taking off. I didn't say that's the future of the franchise. I'm just saying, what happens if, in case of emergency, break glass, we need another quarterback? It's Josh Dobbs? That's it? 617-779-7937. That's the text line as well. Next, we'll get to some Red Sox talk. I mean, gosh, I think they might have to play three. I'm totally kidding. But the doubleheader today, you'll hear both on EEI. But right now it's time to trend with Jacob Lass.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
KJ here on WEEI. Good Sunday morning to you. Remember, the Audacy app is free. AUDACY. Type in WEEI. I'm no longer going to rap, but you can hear this fly guy in Rewind. That's Tommy Curran suggesting that, like, okay, yes, you need an offensive tackle, but do you need an offensive tackle at 4 if you're the Patriots? And I would say this. People assume that it's going to be Cam Ward 1, possibly Abdul Carter 2 to Cleveland, Shedeur Sanders 3 to New York. Coming up in Bets to the Future, I'll show you how Vegas is looking at it through the BetMGM lines, and there's a real story at 2, 3, and 4. So let's deal with the Patriots at 4. So I'll give you the different scenarios of if this person's available at 4, what should the Patriots do? All right. So let's start with Shedeur Sanders, who's kind of this unknown that people are trying to put out there. They're making this big deal about his Colorado day and everything. Like, it's funny. I hear this scrutiny about Shedeur Sanders. And I say this. If you have a kid that has an opportunity to play in the NFL and their father is an NFL Hall of Famer, there is a high probability that kid is going to be more than okay in the league. Two reasons. One, they don't necessarily have to worry about the financial windfall that's coming to take care of the family because the family's already taken care of. And two, probably during the course of your youth and your lifetime, you have been coached, mentored by people who have seen the game at a great level and have succeeded. So things don't necessarily come too fast for you at the pros. Zach Wilson was supposed to be the coming savior after his pro day at BYU. Bro, the dude is about a year away from probably having to do a Mormon mission. I mean, like, so when I hear the scrutiny for Shedeur Sanders, I'm like, are you discounting all this other stuff? Like, even when you look at Steph Curry from the NBA, you're like, well, he's too small, he can't play defense. I'm like, yeah, but Glenn Rice was sitting at this kid's dinner table for years. Let me see your four. It turns out okay for some. Klay Thompson, same thing. You got a pro family member, dad especially. You might be okay in the NFL. So if Shedeur Sanders happens to still be at four, which I don't think he is, Patriots need to trade down. In fact, try and get everything you can to find out who desperately needs or wants a quarterback that's willing to give you the farm. Because that's the hottest commodity. I don't care what anybody says. If they're still a first-round top 10 quarterback in terms of draft, top 10-level draft quarterback you can get and is available at four, and the team at four just got a quarterback last year, oh, man, start highest bidding everything. That's if Sanders is available at four. I don't think that's the case. If Abdul Carter is available at four, you draft him. As I've said, this kind of the funny thing about doing a Sunday morning show. You can kind of repeat what you said the week before because there was such a small sample size to remember it. Look, if you said in free agency how Abdul Carter pans, you know, what his expectation is in the league, and say a Will Campbell and what his expectation in the league would be, who would be harder to acquire in free agency? I would say Carter. So here's the thing. Go get him now, and you control the money for 4 or 5 years. If he's available at four. If Travis Hunter is still at four, trade down. Yeah, I know you guys don't want to hear this, but I honestly believe that Travis Hunter's main position in the NFL is going to be cornerback with some wide receiving. Like, as great as he was as a wide receiver at Colorado, there's probably some guys who be like, yeah, you might have leaked that route a little bit. But you put those same hands out there on the corner and nobody runs past them. Now you've got ball hawking skills that are, oh, very much like surrogate daddy. Like, that, like, there's this argument. Do you want to be good or you want to be great? I think Travis Hunter could be a good receiver. He is destined to be a great cornerback. I mean, this is the type of guy that can get you 12 interceptions in a season. To the point where, like, nobody throws to his side. He could become another Revis Island. But you don't need that here. You've got probably top five cornerback tandem right now here at the Patriots. So you don't need Travis Hunter at cornerback. If all three of those guys are gone, like I mentioned, trade down. You did not hear me say Will Campbell. And this is no knock on Will Campbell. It's just, like, what if you don't work? What if you don't work? Like, think about this. There's a possibility it won't work out. Like, if Abdul Carter is drafted and he ends up being a bust, at least you would say, wait a minute. There's a defense around him that you could even hide the deficiencies. He may not be a guy that pops and is so dominating on the field, but the other part you would say is, well, wait a minute. He should succeed because, A, his head coach is a defensive guy. B, he's got his guys around him that know his philosophy. And C, everything is not on his shoulders. You take Will Campbell, everything is on his shoulders. And that quarter-inch shorter arm, I'm totally kidding. And guess what? The franchise sits behind your mistakes. Will Campbell is not like, see, that's the crazy thing. Like, if you look at San Diego. Been out of San Diego for a couple of years. If you look at the Chargers, when they drafted Joe Alt, it was almost they were thinking like, yeah, we're going to lose our left tackle. He's going to be gone. No. Joe Alt was not designed to be a right tackle in the NFL, right? It's just that, hey, great things have continued to happen. If this guy works out and he's continued to decide to stay, Joe Alt stays at the right. Do you think Will Campbell's going to be drafted to come here and try and play right tackle? No. So that's a lot on his shoulders. There is going to be a lot of conversation. Elliott Wolf, look, as great. I would give Elliott Wolf, what would be like an 84? Just under a B plus? Jacob, about a B plus? Just under a B plus? Maybe a B? Maybe a B. I would have given him an A if he was able to secure the Larry Tunsil deal, especially if Larry Tunsil was available. Now you say, hey, we've got our left tackle. We have the number four pick. Now we can really step into some greatness here. Where here, it's kind of uncertainty. So here's how I think the draft shakes out. Cam Ward goes 1 to Tennessee. Here's the controversial part. At 2, and it doesn't seem to be that much of a controversy from the reports from Colorado, Shedeur Sanders is going to Cleveland. This is what I said last week. And I think, shout out to the 15 people who were here last week at this time. Shedeur Sanders is going number 2. You want a little more evidence that that's a real possibility? Cleveland sent a bunch of people to the pro day. Here's a bigger reason. Deshaun Watson is still due $115 million. Or $115 million in cap hit if you try and get rid of him. You ever hear the term cheaper to keep her? You can't go get a Kirk Cousins and do a rental 1 year and then say, okay, we're going to take an $80 million cap hit, not play Deshaun Watson, and get Kirk Cousins back to his kind of normal money. Uh-uh. You go get the rookie quarterback now. Advantageous contract for 4 years. That means you could still play Shedeur Sanders and just carry what would still be a little bit less than what, say, Seattle's carrying for Sam Darnold. Between your rookie quarterback and the backup who is getting paid like a starter and is not in the game, why couldn't you do that? And then after 2 years, Deshaun Watson's gone, and guess what? Financial freedom. You still have a guy on the rookie deal. I mean, Cleveland's only pegged to win. Their over-under is 4.5 games this year. Someone would say 4.5, that's a high number. That's what Deshaun Watson, and there's no guarantee he'll be back this season off of, I think, re-injuring an Achilles. It makes too much sense for him to go to Cleveland. Even Deion said, yeah, he believes Travis and Shedeur should go 1-2. Oh, yeah, they're going to go 1-2, all right? More like 2-3? Travis Hunter is going to New York. This is why I say if Abdul Carter is available at 4, it will be the most exciting point in the draft. You want to talk about people here in New England screaming at the TV? Trade down. Take Carter. Trade down. Take Carter. Trade down. Still haven't heard. Guess whose name I haven't said there? Will Campbell. Because, as Curran mentioned, you're right. You can get Will Campbell almost around 10. Maybe even 11, depending on who you like more. Do you like a kid out of Missouri, Mbendu? I don't want to say his name incorrectly, but I probably did. You might like him a little bit more than Will Campbell. So that's the thing. It's like it's not like Will Campbell is offensive tackle 1, and then there's this huge drop off between offensive tackles 2 and 3. That's not what's going on. But if you told me that, even if Travis Hunter was available at 4, let's say Travis Hunter's available at 4, you know it's gonna be a bit of a delay for the pick to come in. But at the same time, I also wonder, are there teams really behind New England that would die to go get Travis Hunter? Like, would they give up all that? Because they're like, if New England passes on Travis Hunter, Maybe. I mean, if you're the Jets, maybe you get him. But again, what side of the ball do you need him on? If you're New Orleans, you'd be like, yeah, you could be another, we need receivers. But I don't know if you would say, okay, I'm New Orleans and I'm going to try and give up everything just to move up three spots to get Travis Hunter. When Tet McMillan is still up there, or whoever, you know, else you want to look at, and you still maintain the control without giving up a bunch of your future. So it'd be interesting how this all plays out. But I believe Shedeur Sanders is 2 to Cleveland. All right, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line still to come. We'll get into March Madness and what happened. Look, doubleheader. Red Sox today, first pitch at 1:35 today, and then the next one at 7:10 tonight. Both games will be here on WEEI. And, of course, the big story, Garrett Crochet, he just got the deal. Here's Alex Cora talking about it.
I think it's important for the organization. You know, we've been talking about adding pitching and having that ace, that guy every 5 days that, you know, he's going to extend winning streaks and he's going to stop losing streaks, right? And he's a presence. I don't know if you guys have been around him, but when he's a big dude that, you know, has a quote-unquote killer mentality on the mound, you know. I think in the first game, actually, he was a little bit hesitant. He didn't want to get caught up on the whole opening day thing, and the stuff was a little bit down. I expect the other side today, you know, and I'm very happy. He's a great teammate, too. You know, he's there with Tanner and with Walker and leading the charge of the starters, and I think the city of Boston are going to enjoy his career with the Red Sox.
Yeah, shout out to Craig Breslow for really being able to change the feeling of the culture. Think about it. The team that you probably feel the best outside, the Celtics are in a whole nother level, right? Like, the Celtics is really kind of like, you know, like NBA finals, another championship or bust, right? So that they're in their own category. But can you really think of a time in recent memory that you felt good about the Red Sox being 4-4 and people excited about the team? And it really starts with really answering the question that had just been dangling for the last couple of years. You know who the ace of this staff is. And it's Garrett Crochet. And an even bigger tip of the cap to Craig Breslow is I thought maybe around the All-Star break is when the Red Sox would go to Crochet and make an offer. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Red Sox got a steal. You've locked this guy up for less than $30 million per year over the next several years. And all things withstanding, you may have a Cy Young Award winner who's probably maybe going to be fifth or sixth highest paid pitcher in the league. So you've committed right away. And these are the bold moves that you were hoping to see. But again, in fairness, this is Breslow's second full season, right? So again, I like the momentum and the way the team is going, right? Like even with Christian Campbell, if you said at the beginning of next year, if you said last year, starting next year, which one of the young phenoms is going to be up at big league level? Is it going to be Mayer? Is it going to be your guy in the outfield? You would have never said Campbell. You probably wouldn't have said Campbell. And so by locking him up for an even more ridiculous deal, Breslow's now in a situation where you could say, you know what? I've got Yoshida potentially available. I think you still hold on to Mayer because Trevor's Story, you still have to wait and see. You almost have to see, like, Trevor's Story play 140 games to determine. And then after that, you'd have to determine, are we overpaying for the player? I want to see that. You want to see him in at least 140 games play consistently and be able to produce for what you paid for. You know, but you've got a log jam in the outfield. Abreu is now considerably a growing star. Even Cassis, who is supposed to be the guy coming out of his shell, this is supposed to be his season. So many other things are happening around him and the team with these younger guys that I almost have to credit Breslow for just kind of changing the energy. That's like a Jaylen Brown, but changing the energy of this team for young guys to feel like, hey, I can really step into my role, or, hey, I don't have to have the pressure of being the next guy, right? Because start of the season, you're like, man, Cassis really has to produce this year, where now you're like, hey, Cassis can get to where he needs to get to and still have great amount of protection around him. So, yeah, I won't be able to get to bets to the future because I have too many bets here, but this is, I'll just go through a couple of them, just baseball-wise. To win the American League, the Red Sox are 7.5 to 1. They're only behind the Orioles and the Yankees. And you would say the Orioles, I don't see that. And with the Yankees, you know, they may have a court injunction on their bats before the season's over. So just think about this. In the American League, the Red Sox have the third best odds to win it. And second best odds to win the East. So there's a belief that, okay, the Red Sox could potentially be 2 in the East, be a high wild card, and probably has a chance to get to either the Yankees or the Orioles in the ALCS. Right? Because if it's Yankees, then Orioles, then Red Sox. Red Sox are playing one of those two teams before they play that third. If you said it's the Yankees, anything can happen with the Yankees. With the Orioles, you just saw what happened with them down in Baltimore. All right, next. What happened with March Madness last night? It's KJ WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah! KJWEEI. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday here on WEEI. Remember, you can always tell your Alexa device, hey, Alexa, play WEEI Sports Radio Boston. And you can play it around the home. You play it at your friend's home. You can even play it at the home that you're not supposed to be at 8 o'clock in the morning. But hey, sometimes you just need that comfort of a man. I mean, the comfort of Alexa to be that right there with you. 617-779-7937. We'll get to text messages, and then I'll get to my whole take on what happened last night with Duke Houston. What you got, Jacob?
All right, we got a lot of text messages line today.
Thank you, all 15 of you.
Here we go. Patriots cannot draft for need. They're too bad of a team. They need blue chip players.
Yeah, but who is blue? Like, right, so that's why I say you need, if Abdul Carter's at 4, he's blue. He's more blue chip than Will Campbell is. So, again, when you missed out on Larry Tunzel, I think that would have been so ideal. If you were able to get Larry Tunzel, then you're like, the left tackle position is addressed, and we now have the number 4 pick. Now is when you can start having conversations like, we're shopping number 4 to get everything you want, or you could try and move up to get the player that you want to swap with someone at 4 and maybe give up, say, that second, third round pick that you have. Because, again, you're going to have to build with the line once you start getting into third round, the fifth round pick for Joe Milton. Next.
Next up, we have Tyler Warren is a layup for the Patriots and is more versatile than Travis Hunter. Tyler Warren, 2024 stats, 1,233 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns, and 218 rushing yards on 26 carries with 4 touchdowns. He also can pass. He's 3 of 6 passing. 35 yards, 1 touchdown, and he provides blocking help on the line and in the backfield.
So we're going to line him up all the time on the left side? like you don't need a tight end. Like, you don't go that high for a tight end. Like, the team is, if you didn't have Hunter Henry, I could understand the conversation. But if you're saying, hey, we want to do a Hunter Henry, Tyler Warren thing, the other part I would say is, okay, the running game ties to that, and we don't know if Ramondre Stevenson has recovered yet. At least you know that with the passing game and with the addition, of course, with Stephon Diggs, you're going to want to be able to try that out. So I don't know if you want to get a tight end and have Drake May still become dependent on things 7 yards and under, which was what, you know, was going on last year. You want to stretch the field, and you're going to have to also do that with some protection as well. I mean, I get Tyler Warren. Don't get me wrong. The guy is a beast. He's like a modern, what is it, Todd Christensen, Penn State guy as well. Like, same mold and everything, but I'm not right there. Next.
Next up, we have someone saying, no way, comma, they're taking Travis Hunter. They love him. All the reports coming out are saying that they're going to play him at wide receiver.
Yeah, but again, I think he's only a good wide receiver. If you're drafting four, you're looking for greatness. I don't necessarily know if you didn't get Stephon Diggs, then Travis Hunter really becomes the conversation, right? Like, you have a Stephon Diggs, you say, okay, this is our alpha. You don't get Stephon Diggs to say, this is our alpha for now, because you didn't pay him for now. You gave him his money. So I don't know necessarily if Travis Hunter helps you in that situation where, again, I think Travis Hunter is going to be an all-pro Hall of Fame guy if he's a cornerback in the NFL. Couple more texts.
All right, here we go. Two more. Give the Red Sox some love. And if Story lives up to his contract, we're in a World Series position. Last one. We love you, brother.
Thank you. Love you, too. Thanks, Dad. I'm kidding. Yeah, look, if Trevor Story can give you 140 games, can hit about 265, if he can get you some thieves on the base path, you know you're getting the defense at short. I totally agree. I mean, again, the scenario that I just laid out, even for odds makers, because, look, they look at all these different scenarios. The Red Sox kind of play the spoiler to whatever this Yankee Orioles narrative is in the American League. And I think the spoiler portion of it is the Yankees can always be gotten by the Red Sox. Even as bad as the Red Sox were last year, they could get on the Yankee skin. This team can still do it. The Orioles, I think they missed their window. They should have kept Corbin Burns. They should have built on what they had. Now they got to figure out, like, how do you let Anthony Santander pretty much go for nothing? Like, so, again, I don't know I think the Orioles just, they were, like, excited. They had an owner who would spend. They got Corbin Burns and didn't keep it. It's the equivalent of taking out, I don't know, pick your favorite soup. Sydney, what's her name? Gosh, everybody's in love with her. That's from the television show. I can't think of her.
Sydney Sweeney?
There you go. Imagine taking her out to a top-level dinner on the Seaport, and then 2 weeks later, you're taking her to 99. Now, the popcorn is great at 99. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But do you think she's looking at you, or they're looking at you the same as they were dressed up for at the Seaport? They look at you a little different. So just keep in mind, sometimes when you make that spend and go after it, you still have to maintain it. So the Red Sox, I think, are in a very, very good position. Nobody's running away with the division already. What it is out in the West, and even out in the West, there's the Dodgers have won 9 out of 10, and they're still only, like, what, a game and a half ahead of San Diego. So we don't have anybody running away with a 9-1 record after 10 games. Everybody's pretty much sitting in the same position, and you'd have to say where the pitching staff is for the Red Sox, they're in an ideal situation, and with the bats. And look, Bregman has already proven that he should be the third baseman. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, Devers, I know you're in your feelings, but damn, have you seen some of those picks? Those were not happening. We know how those would be stopped, and then there'd be a throw, and then everybody would gasp, you know. Am I lying? Like, thank God Tristan Cassis is 6 feet, you know, sometimes when Raphael would throw it from third. Like, it's like a 5'5 guy. We're in trouble. So Duke, losing last night to Houston, made my heart so full of joy. One, because my daughter is a graduate of the University of Houston. Go Cougs. Houston holds a very special place in my heart and our family. Plus, I hate Duke. I hate Duke. I grew up a Carolina guy. I hate Duke. And here's what's kind of funny about how Cooper Flagg played out last night. Maine listeners, hold your ears. He needs to go back another year. He needs to go back another year. Like, you really want this guy to be the number one pick of the Jazz? Well, that'd probably play out. the Wizards, the Pelicans. Like, why do that to a guy that could really be the face of the league? Unless the NBA is looking to pull the old Patrick Ewing pull. You know what that is? Look it up. Patrick Ewing draft, where there was a belief that the bouncing balls favored the New York Knicks to get Patrick Ewing because they needed a star in New York. What do you think is happening right now in Philly? Cooper Flagg in Philadelphia would be almost as big as Thomas Jefferson flying a kite right there off of Penn Square. If there's any intel, or they start shaking some of these balls and be like, Philadelphia has the number one pick. Cooper Flagg needs to run out of Duke, but congratulations to Houston. Houston took Duke outside. You know what I mean when you take him outside, out on the blacktop, and oh my gosh. Now, granted, it looked like Houston has a lot of postgraduate students on this. Like, damn, all them dudes look like they're 30. But look, for television ratings, it's not going to be easy. Duke was an 11-1 favorite to win the championship. And 35% of all bets at BetMGM had Duke winning it. A lot of crying people. Someone dropped $500K at plus 350 on Duke. Was it Portnoy? I wonder if it was. Have a great Sunday. Sunday Skate is next. The Miracle Bruins. What happened last night against the Hurricanes? This the same Bruins? Have a great Sunday. See you later.